you like MoviePass, do you know what MoviePass is? My awesome Uncle Keith and my cool cousin Noah talk about movies and MoviePass on their podcasts. Listen to the MoviePass pod on iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
Hey, what happened to Miguel?
I don't know.
Oh my God! He's gone! Miguel's gone! He's loose! What am I gonna do? Oh, no!
Miguel is right. You worry too much.
Oh, yeah. Oh, down.
Stop.
Whoa! No! Big trouble!
Whoa! Look, sweetheart, we're in the middle of a con here, walking the razor's edge. On the one hand, gold. On the other hand, painful, agonizing failure. I can't afford any distractions. So, I'm sorry. So sorry. But perhaps another time? Another place?
Too bad.
Sure, I trust you.
Well, I'm not really asking you to trust me, am I?
Okay.
Yeah.
This is the emergency podcast system. This is not a test. Movies are bombing all over the country. They are posing as movies you already know. They may already be in your theaters, your neighbor's home, or even your own. Do not panic. Specialists have been dispatched. They will help you identify these pretenders and defend you against this invasion of the remake. Please stand by for further instructions.
Hello and welcome to Invasion of the Remake. I am your host, Sam Stepanenko, for at least another week, maybe more. We'll see what happens with Jay, if kill him or not. It's been one of those weeks and I'm not having a good one, that's for sure.
What's been going on, man?
Nothing's just been going right. You know, cops, like the traffic stops. I mean, like three times this week already. And it's not like I was speeding. They kept pulling me over for nothing.
Huh. So weird.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's very weird. It's like I've got some bad karma happening there. Or, you know what?
Trish, you've been okay, right?
As far as I know, yeah.
Okay.
I must have pissed off somebody.
Huh.
Because, yeah, it's not like I've gotten a ticket or anything like that. They just keep stopping me.
I might be able to take care of this.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as if somebody contacted anybody else and decided to do something to torment you.
No. I would never do that to get back my hosting job.
I wouldn't put it past you, but I don't know that you have that kind of resources, Jay.
What's it worth to you?
Man, the way this hosting job's been going for me, I might just be willing to give it back to you if this would stop.
Okay, I'll see what I can do. I'll see what I can do.
We'll talk.
In the meantime, do your job.
I'm going to do my job. Guess what we're doing this week? We are going to make an animated film into a live action film, just like Disney. We're going to go do Road from El Dorado from 2000.
Yeah, when we were discussing this, we were looking at the Disney library of movies that
are scheduled for live action.
That are scheduled for live action, and maybe do a Disney one. But that's pretty much all of them. They literally have all of them on the slate, including Black Cauldron for a live action remake. We even discussed Black Cauldron.
I know.
It's a very poorly received Disney film, but I love it. It's one of my favorites, actually.
It's underrated.
Yeah, we've previously talked about in a comparison episode, 101 Dalmatians. Go check that out. And we will talk more about all these Disney ones that are coming out as well, because damn, that's just going to be fun.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully, I'll have less fury about them.
Yeah,
we'll find out.
Yeah, yeah. Trish has some rage issues that are still
terrible.
still lingering, still haunting her from 101 Dalmatians.
I think it's tainted my view of Dalmatians.
It may have, yeah. Now, one of the other live action remakes that I have seen is worth watching. Because Beauty and the Beast, definitely worth watching. That live action remake is stellar. But we'll talk about that in another episode.
Yeah, we will, because I definitely enjoyed it. It's really well made. Yes. It is, but it's also inferior. But
we'll talk more about the comparison.
Yes, but in its own entire episode for sure.
Yeah, but in comparison to 100 Dalmatians, it is far superior.
Yeah.
So Road to El Dorado was made in 2000, as I think I mentioned. It was not very successful, though.
This is our newest movie to remake.
I think it might be, yeah. It's definitely one of the newest ones. Wow. Because it's the first one in the 2000s or one of the few that are in the 2000s. But yeah, it was budgeted at $95 million. It only grossed $76.4 million.
Which was not a good start for DreamWorks and their first animated film. It is also the only DreamWorks animated film that didn't make money.
Oh.
They did have it planned out to make several sequels, much like they did with Shrek.
Yeah.
And the Dragons franchise.
And to be fair, when you watch it, you can kind of see what they were planning with it. And with the, kind of the adventurer characters, it's possible.
Yeah.
Well, you could make new adventures with them.
This was basically an animated version of the Road movies with Bing Crosby and
Bob Hope.
Bob Hope. Thank you. And Bob Hope.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was definitely inspired by them. I mean, even the title is inspired by those road movies.
And isn't there a part where they kind of slightly morph into those two faces?
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do, as an homage. There's lots of little homages in this movie, for sure, to those classic movies. And, I mean, you're watching this, and it can play so well as an Indiana Jones-type adventure.
Mm-hmm. What they would have done in the future would have been Road to Another Famous Oasis or Treasure or something.
Road to Atlantis.
Mines or something like that. Yeah. Road to Atlantis, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which would have been a lot of fun. I like these characters.
They kind of did do Road to Atlantis. It was just called Atlantis.
Yes, there was.
True.
But without
These two.
Yes, yeah, without these
Tulio and Miguel.
Yes.
British-Spanish
guy.
Yes. Yeah. And I had to admit I had a bit of a problem with that being
but Kenneth Branagh was really good in that part.
He was stellar. I don't know why this movie didn't do better, because all of the voice performances were excellent. The story was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. I think there's a lot of adultness to it.
Oh boy,
I think other people, it was the whole thing. People thought cartoon, kids movie. Because, of course, when it came out, that's your default. Most people are like, kids movies. Nowadays, we know better that it, just because it's animated doesn't mean it's for kids.
Well, this might have been one of the earliest ones where they really tried maybe to put more adult content into an animated film, but still have it aimed at kids. And they missed the mark. They went a little bit too adult, because most animated films now have jokes that only adults will get, but there's still lots of jokes the kids will get. This one here didn't have so many jokes the kids would get, and there were too many that only adults would get.
Yeah, and I think if you could see parts of it where they were trying to do little bits for kids, like Altivo the horse, definitely for kids.
Oh, for
and
sure.
There was that little armadillo who kind of shows up and disappears and doesn't have much happen with them.
Yeah, the armadillo's named Bebo.
Bebo, yeah, like Bebo. You would have had much more Bebo, much more Altivo if it was like a child movie.
You would have, yes.
Yes, yeah. And the armadillo is named after?
The director. His nickname, the director's nickname is Bebo.
Nice.
Bebo Bergeron.
Yeah. And that's a good place to get into casting and writing and directing. How about that?
All that fun stuff.
Nicely done. So there were two directors on this. The first director was Don Paul, who's the animator on Little Mermaid and Black Cauldron, which we already talked about. And then Eric Bebo Bergeron, who directed Shark Tale. Not particularly successful on that one either, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, Jeff Katzenberg also did a little bit of uncredited directing on this as well. Yeah. Mainly was a producer and one of the big names at DreamWorks.
Yes. Written by the writing team of Terry Rosario and Ted Elliott, who collaborated on Shrek, Pirates of the Caribbean, Aladdin, Small Shoulders, Small Soldiers. We were talking about t-shirts earlier. I have small shoulders. That's where it came from. But yeah, and many, many more. These guys are just incredibly successful as a writing team. They've written so many big movies. This is one of their few that didn't do really, really well.
Those are some big hits.
There are some very big hits there.
And some flops. I mean, Lone Ranger is also grouped in there.
Yeah,
true. And additional dialogue by Carrie Kirkpatrick, who did James and the Giant Peach and Chicken Run.
Oh, I love those two.
Yes. Yeah. And again, so another very great, successful writer of animated and action films, or live mm-hmm. action films as well. Mm-hmm. Our cast, we had a voice cast. It's really quite impressive. We had Kevin Kline as Tulio, who's one of the lead con artists, with Kenneth Branagh as Miguel, his partner in crime, mm-hmm. our blonde Spaniard. Mm-hmm. We had Rosie Perez as Chell, who joins their team in a way. She's trying to escape El Dorado, and she sees them as an avenue to get out, and things happen there.
And we'll get into that, but the motivations for that character are super weak.
They are very weak.
I discovered something this morning about she kind of was a last minute addition.
Oh, I remember reading about that too. Yeah, and I'm with you on that.
Well, I'm glad you found that, because I didn't in my research, at least not as far as I know. We had Armin Asante as Zekel Khan. I think that's how you pronounce his name. He is one of our two bad guys. He is the high priest of El Dorado, and he is not a nice man. No. We had Edward James Olmos, one of my favorite actors. Yes. I love him. As Chief Tannenbach, who's this wonderful, rotund, kind man. Mm-hmm. Yes. We had Jim Cummings as Herman Cortez.
Who is also?
Winnie the Pooh.
Yes. So to hear him do this voice and then remember that's the Winnie the Pooh guy blows your mind.
It is mind-blowing, actually. Yes. And then he is the Spanish explorer who is looking for El Dorado and is following Miguel and Tulio on this quest for El Dorado. Then we had a couple. We have Altivo has a voice. It was Frank Welker. Yes. And then we had Tobin Bell.
I know Frank from, like, Scooby-Doo. And yeah. I think he was the voice of Megatron.
Wasn't he?
I think.
Maybe.
We can find out. We'll come back to that. And then Tobin Bell as Zaragoza, who has a small role as the sailor that Miguel and Tulio get the map to El Dorado from.
Oh, that's who that was.
Nice.
I've been writing down Tobin Bell, and I'm like, I never did pick out the voice.
Yes.
That could go a different way.
You keep listening for the saw voice, and I guess it's not always like that.
Well, like, wait, that map could have gone really wrong.
Oh, yes, it could take this movie in a whole different direction.
Like, the map leads to, like, a trap.
Do you want to play a game?
Yeah, that's... I kind of like that. Maybe we should incorporate that. Tobin, guess what? You're getting recast. And, you know, as we said, this movie didn't do very
well. We got to mention Elton John here.
Yeah. We were coming to the music because Elton John does do the music for this as he does. And he's been very successful in doing music for animated films.
Like 10 songs for this film.
Yes. Uh-huh. One of which we did with the Backstreet Boys, which didn't appear in the film, but was on the soundtrack. All the music feels very Elton John kid movie-ish. It's not as good as his music for other movies, I don't think.
Yeah, no, it doesn't feel like he's giving it his all here. There's a couple of catchy ones, but most of them kind of feel a bit clumsy, honestly.
They do. It feels like they don't feel like they're as organic as they did in, like, The Lion King, which where it all fit the mood of the movie.
Oh, they were certainly going for that era of Disney that was really hot with Little Mermaid and Lion King and...
Yeah, where all these
Aladdin and all that stuff.
All these songs kind of made it into, like, the mainstream, like, beyond the movie, people knew the songs. Right.
And that's probably one of the biggest flaws of this movie is it's not a musical film, so when they force those musical bits in, it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
And that it actually takes away from the film. Mm-hmm. They should have gone with a straight up animated film or spent more time making it a musical film, but it feels kind of half-assed both ways.
Yeah, especially when it's kind of this narration music rather than the characters.
Yes.
There's one, maybe two songs that are actually character driven.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Where the song where they first discover that they have to pretend to be gods.
Yeah.
And that's the only one I actually remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's when you think of where he did it really well, which is The Lion King, it still drives the narrative, but it's still part of the story. Mm-hmm. Like Hakuna Matata. And they kind of show the whole, when they're kind of getting together, they're learning to do stuff. And, you know, Simba's growing up.
Well, it's the music still does that. But it's like, well, in case you didn't catch it during the scene, I'm going to sing it to you now.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's clumsy. Yeah. I don't know if that's Elton John's fault necessarily. It's just maybe just the way that the film was put together to begin with. Mm-hmm. Like I said, there's a lot of great elements here. Not all of them tie together all that well.
No, this even for an animated film, like I don't think I've seen an animated film that feels so piecemealed than this one.
It feels like different adventures.
Yeah.
Like you have the first adventure where they get the map. You have the second adventure where they stow away on the ship. You have the third adventure where they washed ashore and are looking for it.
Yeah. By 25 minutes in, they're at El Dorado.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
I'm like, well, shouldn't the road be longer?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that would definitely...
They just happened to wash up on shore of the island.
In the exact right spot.
That they weren't even looking for.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, and that's I think that's a big part of it is it feels like it should have been a Marvel movie. Yeah, because in Marvel movies, their acts are each one sort of moves the plot forward, but you have a different story in each act almost.
Yeah.
Having recently watched a few of them and read...
Hey, you know what? Let's talk about that next week.
Let's do that.
Okay,
cool.
But that's the feel that this movie should have, but doesn't quite.
But it's the weird thing when that whole thing happened, it's like I was in the writer's room listening to what had to happen, whereas it's sort of like the writers are like, okay, so they stow away on the ship, but like, I mean, if they all get to shore together, then Cortez is with them and they're all going to find it at the same time. So he's like, well, how do we do that? Well, they wash off the ship and just happen to wash up on the shore. Like, you can see why that separation happened and why that accident happened.
Yeah, but they don't even stow away on the ship on purpose.
No.
Right? Everything with Miguel and Tulio is accidental.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They were running a shady dice game. The mad patrons, when they realize the dice are loaded, chase after them. They hide in some barrels. The barrels get loaded onto Cortez's ship. They get caught as stowaways.
Yeah, it is all very accidental.
Yeah. And next thing you know, they're gods.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of, I can kind of see, I think what they were trying to do, and I don't know if that's just me putting my idea on the film, because that's just that it seemed like that Miguel was very happy-go-lucky, and he was just lucky. Lucky as hell. Tulio's with him, so Tulio is just lucky by proxy, but Miguel is so easygoing and just like believes everything's going to turn out that he's just super lucky.
Well, that's
super hipster.
There's a dynamic there. You have Tulio, who's like uber planner, worry wart, and then you have Miguel, who is fly by the seat of the pants, everything will work out just fine.
And it does.
Yeah, and it does. And maybe we should just run the trailer so we can get a sampling of how these guys work together.
Sounds like a good idea. Let's do it.
Cool.
The legend of a lost city of gold and the two men brave enough to find it.
I am Miguel. And I am Tulio. And they call us Miguel and Tulio.
Seven! Your dice are loaded! I will give you the honor of a quick and painless death. But not with that. I'll bet we can make that. Two pesetas says we can't.
You're all... You lose.
DreamWorks Pictures invites you...
Holy shit!
Join two friends on an incredible journey.
We'll follow that trail.
What trail? To the magnificent city of gold.
El Dorado.
Big smile, like you mean it.
They actually think we're gods.
Miguel and Tulio.
The mighty and powerful gods.
Hello.
Now.
You're going to need my help.
What makes you think we need your help?
Are you serious?
They're bound for excitement.
Who's the guy?
You the guy.
Go.
Romance. And danger.
I know you are not God.
You're not a god?
That was good, huh? Featuring six new songs from Elton John and Tim Rice, the Oscar-winning team from The Lion King. The Road to El Dorado.
Stop that!
And that was the trailer from Road to El Dorado 2000. It's a great trailer. Looks like fun, but as Trish mentioned during the break, you know you're in trouble when they focus on the music more than they do the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a pretty good indicator that they were really pushing the fact that the music was by Elton John. I mean, suggests that maybe they didn't have a lot of faith in the movie itself, maybe.
Yeah, and yeah. I think that was a problem with DreamWorks as a whole, is for the first little bit when they did these traditionally animated films, is they would always hype either the musicians or the mainstream actors that were in the movies as the selling features rather than the animation in itself.
The story in the animation.
Yeah.
Right, and that's the problem with a lot of animation now is...
Because I can tell you right now, if this is aimed at kids, nobody gives a shit if Brad Pitt's in there or whoever is in there.
No, that was...
I remember that was the Sinbad one.
Yeah, and they really try to get the big-name actors in there to draw adults in and make adults interested in seeing movies that are aimed at their kids. But you have to make a movie that works for kids and adults in order for that to be successful.
It almost feels like they wanted the adults to come and didn't give a shit if the kids were coming. You know, like, there were small little things. They said hell a couple of times in this.
Yeah. Holy ship.
Holy ship, which is a nice play on words there. But it gets fairly adult at times.
Yeah, you mentioned the naked bums.
Yes, the naked bums. Yeah, they're taking...
That was surprising.
I was gobsmacked. My jaw went agape. It was like, they're showing their bums.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Chell wears very, very little. Like, very little.
Yeah.
And she's buxom and bounces a lot and... Yeah, she's a very sexual creature.
Sexually aggressive, too.
Oh, absolutely.
She, you know, gets rid of Miguel so she can have some fun times with Tulio.
Yeah, she basically seduces Tulio. Yeah. She knows that Tulio is interested and takes advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, she's just grifting Tulio. Yeah.
That's the word I was looking for. She is a total grifter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is a con artist.
But mm-hmm. totally belongs in that group, then.
It really does. Yeah. But she's on a completely different level than they are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, these guys are kind of goofy scammers. Like, they use loaded dice and stuff like that. They're out of their league at this point.
Yeah, well, right. they're on completely foreign soil. They don't know what the hell is going on, so they have to rely on her.
Very, very much, yes.
For this whole thing.
Yeah. And she's smarter than they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but the other thing about, I just so upset that I didn't get a clear... I didn't know what was going on with Chell, like, for a lot of it. Why is she so desperate to get out of Alvarado?
Yeah, and we never do find that out, and that's something we certainly need to fix in this movie. I don't know. Maybe that has to do with Tetzel Khan.
Maybe.
I mean, she indicated, like, there's one point there where she says it's just boring. Like, she needs she needs adventure. She does say that at one point, but it's pretty weak.
Yeah, you're going to need more than that for a live-action film.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like, she could maybe have it like, this place is stifling. I can't, you know, be who I need to be in this environment.
I would say she's the next in line to be sacrificed.
Yeah, or she's a temple slave, and all she does is dust the gold icons, right? Like, she's miserable there because she's never going to be more than what she is, kind of thing, right? And she's smarter than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because they've got this, they've also got this system, like, the high priest is the high priest and the chief's the chief, and it's like very kind of caste like and you will never rise out of where you are, and that's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's conflict between the chief and the priest.
There certainly is. Yeah. And I mean, those Mayan, Incan, Aztec cultures were very big on human sacrifice, and they mentioned that in the movie.
Yeah.
And they're very big on caste, right? If you were an upper caste, you were uppercased. But if you're lowercase, you never rise from that.
Mm-hmm. No.
And that's the other thing, too. She's clearly lowercased. You can tell by the way she dresses. Right? So maybe that's something you play up in a live action, is that she is definitely never going to be more than what she is, and she has higher ambitions than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, you have Miguel and Tulio, and sort of the biggest thing they kind of bring in is they're like, we're the gods, and we kind of don't want sacrifices. And they kind of leave it at that. Like, they could upend this whole society. As gods, they've got kind of a blank check to do so, and that's kind of all they do.
Well, I mean, with live action, you can do more and still keep it PG. I mean, these same writers did Pirates, and that's the kind of the vibe.
Oh, yeah.
And you get that. You can see some of that pirate stuff in this movie, especially when they're on Cortez's ship.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely some stuff that I'm like, you can totally see the pirates that would come later out of this.
For sure, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's an example of that. They took a nugget from one film that they'd written and turned it into something really great, at least with the first one.
Yeah.
Not so much in subsequent ones, but it's still working, so somebody's liking them.
Or alternatively, they had ideas for this that I think they just wanted some more freedom to do. And they're like, okay, fine, this is a kid's movie, we're going to do a kid's movie. And they want to use that nugget somewhere else.
Oh, when they get to the kind of basketball type game that they were playing.
That is a real game.
Yeah.
Okay, I just thought they were like running out of ideas.
Yeah, no, that is a real game.
And the whole point at the end, it would be played for a long, long time.
Like, it would be played for days.
People die of exhaustion.
Yeah. And I can't remember the...
And wasn't it the winner that got sacrificed because it was a great honor or something
like that? Yes, yeah.
I would be intentionally trying to lose.
You can't. That's just if it looks like you are, they're going to be real mad.
You just got to play really well to not play well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but culturally, again, it's an honor to be sacrificed as warriors who did very well in battle was sometimes sacrificed because that was considered an honor.
Oh, well, nobody looked too terribly disappointed when Tulio and Miguel said, no sacrifices today.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was the other bit where it's like, you guys, that's what confused me at a certain point.
Think that
historically,
but again, it was a kids' movie, and they obviously wanted to make it seem like human sacrifice is bad, and these people were relieved that it was ending.
Right? Yeah.
So, and you know, for the lower castes, it would be a relief because they're most likely the ones who are getting sacrificed. Maybe they don't see it so much as an honor as maybe the warriors and the athletes would, because they don't earn it. They're just there to appease the gods, where it's not treated as an honor. You're there to say, hey, we're willing to give all this stuff to you, so you be nice to us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Whereas with the warriors and the athletes, it's like, this is an honor. We're giving you one of our best athletes or our best warriors, and he's doing it voluntarily. Right?
Yeah, so that's, probably that's not like just that. They're like, I don't have to do this anymore. Yay, sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah, there is definitely some of that.
So, yeah, if you had suicidal depression maybe in the Mayan times and you were good enough, that might be good.
Pick me.
I'm totally ready to be sacrificed. I've had such a day.
Yeah, so yeah, we may be wrong on this, but I think Trisha is right. I think that at least the winners of the game were, they were given the honor of being sacrificed.
Okay, So that's a real deal.
It is definitely a real game.
I was going to cut it from the film. I certainly wouldn't give it the amount of time the film gave it, though.
Oh no.
As we chime in together, oh no.
it was excessively long. There's a lot of things I would shorten in some ways and extend in others.
And little bits that I don't know. I don't know. Are we ready to talk about what we want to do with it?
Oh, well, we might as well. I mean, we can discuss both along the way. Yeah. Like, I think the getting to El Dorado should take longer, for one. Mm-hmm. That'll cut down on these extraneous soccer games.
Yeah. Well, and I think there should be more adventure. And, you know, as you brought in Tobin Bell and Saw, I like to think that there has to be, like, on the road to El Dorado, the reason why it's so hard to get there is there has to be traps.
Yeah,
and there
absolutely.
Has to be problems to get there.
Mm-hmm. Indiana Jones type, like, puzzles and traps to get past.
Yeah. And we got to figure out Altivo, too, because obviously it's not going to work the same way.
No.
No.
But I still want kind of a horse that, like, does things like they'd have in sort of, like, old Disney movies or, like, a Silverado. There was, like, a smart horse.
Yeah, no, I think that he's a very talented war horse, right? He doesn't have to have as much personality.
And they could get Altivo on the island rather than on Cortez's ship.
You can.
Yeah. Well, you might.
Because they don't, because horses were imported by Europeans into the New World. So that horse wouldn't necessarily be there.
Ooh. Or rather than, like, they managed to kind of just get off the ship and accidentally wash up on shore, there's a shipwreck. And they and the horse managed to make it to shore.
Well, that's essentially what happens, except that they
sort
get blown
of,
off. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
But there could be a shipwreck.
Well, okay. Maybe with their escape, I mean, because we want to make this more adventurous anyway. So I do actually like the initial setup of them running a shady craps game.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of fun and running through the city. And I can see how some of those pirates like chase sequences that were in those movies would be pretty fun. And then arrested by Cortez's men when they're found. Hiding on the ship, and then there's a lot of trying to escape from that, and they intentionally run the ship aground, and it's not on
there
this island.
Go.
It's not on this island because we need them to catch up later. So they wind up escaping on a boat while they're trying.
I have an idea. Instead of them being accidentally on the ship, they get caught by Cortez, and he makes them go with them.
Oh yeah, like he enslaves. He's like, you're going to come here, and you're going to be our slave.
Yeah, you're going to take care of my damn horse.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it ties it all together. Right?
And I love the idea of, like, I know we should have that initial scam. yes. that they're doing, because you have to kind of set up these characters yeah. as con men, and that yeah. sort of has to happen. You
and
can
they,
have
do,
that
they do end up with the map, but Cortez doesn't know they have the map.
That's right.
So he doesn't realize that he's actually bringing along the guy, the people who have the map with him. He's yeah. just punishing them for messing with his soldiers and creating all this havoc in town.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, and I also like the idea of Tulio's like, really? Like, I don't know if it's a real map. And Miguel's like, it's a real map. Like, having that conflict yeah. just between them, where one guy's so sure it's a real map.
Yeah, and that could be a lot of fun on the shipboard scenes, too. It's like they're constantly talking about it. Mm-hmm. It's like, Miguel's like, I can't believe we're there. We're actually getting to go to where the map is. Mm-hmm. Right? So, yeah. And maybe even Cortez isn't even looking for El Dorado at this point.
Yeah, he's just trying to conquer the world for Spain.
Yes, exactly. So we don't need that extra motivation for him.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And his horse is the responsibility of Miguel and Tulio, and along with other things, but one of the things that they do. And that will allow them to develop a relationship with the horse as well, particularly mm-hmm. Miguel, who does with, in the animated film as well, he makes mm-hmm. friends with El Tivo.
Oh, yeah. And El Tivo's like, give me my apple. Yeah. Like, yeah. yeah, just have that. You can have a lovely relationship between them yeah. and the horse.
Because Spanish war horses were not unaccomplished in their own right. They're war horses, so they're mm-hmm. fearless, and they're capable of fighting, right? So why not just make him a war horse?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
There we go.
Because it has to tie into the monolith scene, right? So
yeah.
That's so important.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that could make for some fun challenges as they move through the jungle towards El Dorado, is how do you get a horse through this dense jungle that people can barely get through.
Yeah.
So that can present some of the challenges for them is how do we get the horse out?
Well, this shouldn't yeah. be like a normal island either. There should be no. other weird challenges and traps and things. I mean, when they wash ashore, they're seeing dead bodies on the beach. Yeah. They're full of arrows and things, but these people are very passive.
They're very peaceful, yeah.
Except for, you know, the followers. And that's the thing. You need to, it's not just Tetzel Khan, you need to elevate his whole cult
yeah.
into something bigger. And that's where I think of like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, right?
Yep.
You know, you have this
Kalima.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And certainly, yeah, you have to have factions within El Dorado.
Yeah.
It's, you have Tetzel Khan, who really wants to take over El Dorado and maybe even start wars with other civilizations in Central America. Because I don't think they're on an island, actually. I think they're on Central America or even South America.
It's supposed mm-hmm. to be Colombia. They say, like, when I was reading kind of just about the myth of El Dorado, it was around Colombia.
Well, and so that would, I think that puts them around the Mayan era. I can't remember. It's been a long
time.
They
were deliberately vague because this movie's not very historical yeah. accurate. So nope. there's all sorts of Mayan and Incan and influence and Aztecs. You can see it all yeah. over the place, and it's just this mishmash.
But to not
of
make
stuff.
It an island, I totally agree. It yeah. should be in
yeah,
South America.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, it should definitely be the mainland. And that's where the shipwreck could play in, is they could be shipwrecked and they have see the opportunity to escape with the horse, and they have their map. They figure out roughly where they are and they head towards the first landmark they can think of. That would be a lot more interesting than this constant accidental discovery thing. Some of it has to be deliberate.
Yeah, gives them a direction. If nothing else, it gets them away from Cortez.
Yes.
Absolutely. They want to get away towards something.
Yeah, because and Cortez, yeah, can be a bad, bad man. But after they escape, that's maybe when Cortez finds out, well, from one of his sailors, it's like, well, they had a map to El Dorado. Didn't you know? Right? It could actually make for a very funny scene.
Yeah, we heard they were talking about El Dorado.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and it's also, he also wants El Dorado, but it's also part vengeance, because he's probably really pissed at them.
Oh, yeah, because they stole his horse.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but, I mean, and it could be a lot of fun, because the sailor who tells him they have the map to El Dorado is the one who lost it to them, but doesn't say that part. It's like, I'm not going to tell him that I lost the map, though, right?
Nice.
Yeah, you could have a nice little bit there.
Because that was his whole thing. Like, he had the map, like, he went out and got it, and he's like, oh, if I give this to Cortez, it's going to be so great. And then, like, because he has a gambling problem, he bets it.
Yeah, no, you could have a lot of fun dynamic with some of the other characters, right? Just like they do in Pirates, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
Cortez
needs a Smee.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that makes me think Cortez needs a battle scene at the end rather than, oh, there's no El Dorado here, taking Tetzel Khan as a slave. I mean, and this is some big sorcerer dude, so then that ending didn't sit too well with me.
Oh, I love the bit of Tetzel Khan just becoming as a servant. But I think you're right. You do need some sort of conflict at the end instead of them
just
blocking access
again
to El Dorado. We want the Eldoradans to, I think that's right, to maybe be a little more warlike. Maybe not necessarily go out and start wars.
Well, but we know they're capable of defending their territory, obviously, by the bodies.
Yes, right. So maybe you have that type of conflict where this is one of the few times where the Spanish don't win a battle against this more primitive, this quote unquote more primitive culture.
Ooh, and you could have, I don't know, this would be kind of a fun play with that at the end, whereas Cortez, like, after his defeat, they're going away, and there's, like, going, like, well, what do we tell them about El Dorado? It's like, what's El Dorado?
Yes.
It doesn't exist. It was a myth.
Yeah, which would play very well, right? I think that would work really well. Right?
Yeah, I mean, they could still deliberately block the gates to El Dorado, but there should be a fight to do so.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, the whole boat rushing down the tunnel, I don't think would work quite so well as live action, as we've seen with Willy Wonka.
No.
Those boat through tunnel scenes don't work very well anymore.
They do when they're really weird and it looks like the person who's in charge of the boat is losing his mind. Yeah, then they work.
Yeah. I think that maybe even the tunnel isn't even an ocean tunnel or a river tunnel. It's a path with traps and so on, and as they get out, they can set off something that closes that tunnel, but only that tunnel. There might be, I can't imagine any culture only having one way out of their city.
Yeah,
no, well, that's just what's on the map. The culture, they know all the other ways out, but because there has to be a way where the legend got out.
Right. So they can close that off and leave El Dorado safe from further interlopers. But there should be like a battle as they come out. Like maybe the Eldorados are up on the mountain above firing arrows and stuff at the Spanish.
Yeah. And I mean, when Miguel and Tulio actually arrive, I almost feel like it should be the chief who says, "Are these the gods that were foretold in your books?"
Yeah.
Tzetzel Khan? To save their lives. Otherwise, he knows what's going to happen to these guys.
That they become unwilling sacrifices. Yeah.
Yeah.
And make the chief much smarter and more manipulative than he is, at least when it comes to Tzetzel Khan.
Yeah, still that friendly, lovable chief, but he's kind of manipulating his religion so more deaths aren't on his head.
Yeah, and also sort of make it where there is a conflict that he's trying to deal with. Like, he doesn't want his people to be as fanatical about this religion because he's thinking we're losing our minds here, but he just kind of uses it to kind of keep things in order. Mm-hmm. So it could be kindly yet conflicted.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And maybe, and a lot less of the whole manipulation in El Dorado, like the time spent in El Dorado needs to be much shorter.
If you take 45 instead of 25 minutes, then yes, your time in El Dorado. I enjoy, there are certain aspects of, like, you want to show the grandeur of El Dorado, the gold, and how peaceful these people are with each other at times, and that in contrast with the bloody trials of this religion as well. But you don't need to spend like 15 minutes watching a soccer game.
No, exactly. And you can have a lot more fun, like the discovery chocolate.
Mm. Yeah.
They discover chocolate.
Oh my God!
Because that's a drink from that culture. It is where it came from, right? So we have them being the first Europeans to discover chocolate. That would be a fantastic film moment.
Oh
yeah, right?
Absolutely.
Right? And where instead of manipulating them to get gold, they say Miguel and Tulio say, "We have some very bad people coming behind us. Mm-hmm. You need to get prepared."
Well, that should be Miguel. Mm-hmm. I like the division between the two.
Mm-hmm. As they get there,
as they get there, because one's driven by greed and the other one's just peaceful, kind of, I'm really digging this culture and I kind of want to stay.
Yeah, yeah, and I liked that dynamic.
Yeah, and I mentioned earlier that Chell was kind of a last-minute addition to this story, because initially Miguel and Tulio were supposed to be a couple.
Yes, they were.
Yep.
Which would have been very forward-thinking in 2000.
I think it would have been awesome. And also, you know what? I think it would just add another level of them.
It might explain why Miguel's not too interested.
Yes.
But there is this agreement, like, nope, it's got to be business. Nobody goes after Chell. And that's Tulio who says that.
Yeah.
And Miguel's like, okay.
And it also could be like, this is us, like, this is our deal. Like, she could, her interloping on their relationship has higher stakes if they're a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, I mean, they lose more if she becomes part of their team.
But they're not going to survive being gods without her either. That's kind of what her function is. In turn, they wind up saving her life from sacrifice, having mm-hmm. stolen gold from the temple.
Yes. And yeah, we definitely play that up as, yeah, she's stolen an icon too.
And we could have her playing like both sides, like uh-huh. Tetzel Khan going, if you don't want to be sacrificed, you keep an eye on these guys and you tell me exactly what's going on. And, you know, she's playing both sides against the middle, right?
That would be awesome.
See where things shake out. So you can have a little more conflict there as well.
Yeah, have her be far more manipulative.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, not like she wasn't already, but...
Yeah, well, you know, she earns her good guy status along the way, but has to stumbles along the way.
Exactly.
But she's smarter about it. I think it's sort of how she sort of sees how they're kind of becoming part of El Dorado. It's like, oh, okay, I kind of get it now. Like,
right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think she would have her sort of respond to the inherent goodness in them,
mm-hmm.
because these guys are not bad guys. They're just found a way to make a go of it. And they don't. There's not like they're taking advantage of good people. They take advantage of bad people whenever they can,
mm-hmm.
right? Particularly in Spain.
Yeah, and if they get rid of Tetzel Khan at the end of this movie, and she's learned to love her city again by protecting it,
mm-hmm.
maybe she stays behind.
Yeah.
Afterwards,
perhaps. Yeah.
Yeah, which would make sense because if you are going to feasibly do another Road to movie, then ditch Chell and. And then you're back to square one, right?
Where it's just the partners, the two of them
again. Yeah.
And I mean, they can be partners in more ways than one. I mean, but it's tricky with an action adventure type film to play that dynamic successfully.
Yeah. No, I think that this was one of the cases where I think the producers probably made the right choice. Yeah.
Well,
they just didn't do it very well because she does feel like she's shoehorned in.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I can see how this dynamic makes sense. I really, really can.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why? Like, they've been together like a long time. It's a grifter couple.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
it's not unheard of.
And there's no, I mean, especially back then, there's just lots of bisexual things going on.
Well, and that's what I'm going to say maybe they're together, but they're open to other things kind of characters.
Yeah.
Mm hmm.
Yeah, no, I can see that playing actually fairly well, especially in this day and age, right?
Like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, where everybody's more open-minded now.
Well, not everybody, unfortunately, but more people are more open-minded.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know, and I like the idea of it just sort of raising the stakes with their relationship, because it's more interesting to me.
It is, yeah.
Well, and it does... play a little bit more towards the jealousy that's in that film.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, that divisiveness could be much more apparent with Chell stepping in because they're both interested in her as mm-hmm. well as each other. And how do they make that work?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's lots of ways you can make that work.
Yeah.
But they don't
a porn parody.
No. Yeah. But yes. Yeah. but at the same time, like I said, they're not that committed to each other that they're not bothered by a third person coming into the relationship.
Right.
Yeah, I think that can make it for a very interesting dynamic, actually.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end, like, I know you want... Yeah, you could have more road movies, but I'm kind of looking at this as standalone. So she could still join their group.
Standalone.
So she could still join their group at the end. It would still work out.
Yeah, it could go either way. And
we'll figure that out.
And that's the great thing about this dynamic as well. If people don't take to Chell, you'll know that at the end of the movie.
Absolutely.
By audience reactions. So it's if you have enough and the audience liked the movie enough but didn't like a certain character,
she just quietly just disappears, just like in the Indiana Jones movies. They just don't bring in a new woman.
Well, you bring in somebody new, like you'd be like, no, we lost, like Chell was with us at this particular adventure and she decided to stay there, so that's what happened to her.
Yeah. Or she really likes it in Spain and didn't
get rid of anybody. At least in the second Indiana Jones movie.
Oh no, that was a prequel.
That was a prequel.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, it occurred before.
But in The Last Crusade, though.
Yes. That's true.
And she was a Nazi. Ah!
She was a hot Nazi.
That doesn't make it okay.
No.
She also slept with his dad. It's really gross.
We should do Elsa, devil of the SS. She wolf of the SS.
Oh, we should. Oh, totally.
That is so wrong and so. Yeah, so
it's
wrong.
Very wrong. Yeah, just stick with wrong.
I'll just stick with wrong.
Turn that into an animated
exploitation
movie.
Exploitation Nazi movie.
But instead of live action to animation.
Oh, we're moving in a whole other direction.
Okay, so back to El Dorado.
Back to El Dorado. So we've talked about sort of like how El Dorado would be sort of not abbreviated, but tightened up a little bit. I love the idea of keeping the game in there, but yeah, much shorter.
Yeah, you could just see it as something they're playing as a nod to the movie, that scene in the movie as Miguel's walking through town.
Yeah. Yeah, or they do the
or as they're coming into town,
yeah. Or they're playing it for them.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. Okay. They're sitting up on their dais watching the game of between the two best teams.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like challenging the gods to a game. It's like, and the whole armadillo cheat, like all of that's got to go away because it just doesn't work in the real world.
No,
right?
No, unfortunately, I think it'd be fun to have like an armadillo pet sort of glom onto them.
Oh, sure, yeah. Right? Like the knot should still be there, yeah. But the reality of the situation is that would never happen.
Or you could, and you could have like sort of a nod to like the kind of the original El Dorado where they talk about like the chief was like covered in gold flake. At some point you have like the armadillo covered in gold flake and they're like they're just kind of sitting there and like this big ball of gold moves. They look. They look. Yeah. It stops. They look away.
Armadillos are native to South America, so we'll keep talking while I look that up.
But yeah, I think it would just be fun. I don't know. That would be just a nice note where this like gold flaked armadillo.
It would be a lot of fun. It would be freaking hilarious.
That would be cool. Yeah, no, I think, you know, as a nod to the animated film, we certainly need it in there. And I like that gold flake thing. You can still give the armadillo some funny scenes.
Yeah, but you can have fun with some of the live action animals, just not in the same way you can do animated.
Yeah, not so ridiculously out of character for the real world.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I'm liking that idea. So I'm just looking here to see if they are, yes, they are.
Native to South America.
Woo-hoo. They are native to South America, yeah.
All right, there you go.
So we can still keep it.
All right. Nice.
All right, we want as much historical accuracy as possible. And as
which this movie has none of. So.
None of, no.
Yeah.
No.
And
I mean even Cortez was not the original.
No.
Explorer to search for El Dorado.
I don't remember who the explorer looking for El Dorado was, but it was not Cortez.
It was not Cortez.
Yeah,
no.
And Cortez was going somewhere else at the time.
Yeah, he
in
was.
Cuba. He was going to Cuba, or he was in Cuba. He came from Cuba, something like that. I read that.
Yeah,
but you know that's fine. Cortez was a much easier name to say than the other dudes.
Yeah,
and people, I can't remember it.
And most people recognize the name Cortez.
Yeah.
Plus, it's a nice. He seems to be more of a character where he's kind of getting us from A to B and then sort of just bookending it at the end.
That's really true, yes.
He's not the focus of the whole thing.
But I would like to have more Cortez in there, to be honest.
Oh, at the end, definitely.
Yeah, even in the middle, like especially if we
have... Well, you got to have those cut scenes as he's decided to track these two. It's become this weird mission where he's sidetracking himself for these two mundane people. But if he knows that... And that seems a bit out of character, but if he knows that they have the map to El Dorado, then he's got much more cause to go after them.
Exactly. And I'd love to see the damage that this search is doing to the morale of the troops, to him, to the number of people he has with him, because
they're losing supplies, they're losing time.
They're losing men to the traps that Miguel and Tulio made it through, right? Because there's so many of them, there's always going to be some guy who stubbed a toe or trips or sets off a trap and you lose like three or four people at a time.
Without the proper guides, they're not going to get through unscathed. That's
right, because they're just following their path because they've left a clear trail to El Dorado because they've hacked through the underbrush and all that fun
and
stuff.
And Cortez is just constantly like, okay, you go first.
Yeah.
We lost that guy. Okay, now you go first.
Yeah, and you could just show how heartless he is. He's like, you're cannon fodder for me.
Mm-hmm.
You make him really, really merciless and unlikable.
Yeah, which means you got two really nasty villains in this movie. Yeah.
And I love the idea of having them meet up with each other,
right?
Like, and becoming, and one of them not coming out of it unscathed in this case. And it would have to be
Tetzelcon,
yeah.
Tetzelcon.
Yeah, because Cortez, I mean, clearly has a history later on.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, and then like to keep it mythical, like Tetzelcon comes to a very horrifying end.
Oh yeah.
To save the El Dorado as a theory, so that Cortez doesn't look like a
when he fell into Xibalba, I thought he was dead, and then he shows up on the other side of the wall, and Cortez finds him. I'm like, oh,
like what's
I guess the whirlpool doesn't suck you till you're doomed.
Yeah, like it sucks you through a special area and then out another part.
So I guess when he sacrificed people, he cut their throats before tossing them in or something.
Yeah, typically, they usually rip out their still beating hearts.
Yeah, that was generally the way it was done.
Yeah, but we have to get rid of the whole stone lion thing anyhow, or the stone panther thing.
Why? That's my favorite bit. I like all the magic.
Well, then, you know, it's cool.
That would be like... stellar and special.
It would. I just, Tetzel Khan, I just think it's better if he's not magic. He's just power hungry.
Oh, no. I want magic. I want to see a little bit more of him animating things along the way.
Well, then why would we have traps if they have magic?
Because they can't always have somebody sitting there with him, weaving his spell, going, ooh,
yeah, you're going to stop now.
There's only one wizard.
Something cursed, but I mean.
Well, and there could be. Why not? I mean, that you could have like these charmed stone sentinels that, I mean, if you're being guided
like
by...
like a terracotta warrior type of deal?
And yeah, but if you get, they just look like another Incan Mayan statue as you walk by. But if you are not with the proper wards or the, you know, somebody who can power them down, then you get attacked by them.
Oh, you know what? You could have them get by because they're on a horse. Because they're on an animal. They've got a four-legged animal instead of a two-legged animal.
Recognized as human.
Yeah.
And if we're talking about like those sentinels, like once Sekel Khan is cast out, he's no longer in control of those things. There might be like another priest there, and like that those sentinels are servants of El Dorado, not servants of Sekel Khan. So like in the final battle, those could come into play.
Well, and I like the idea of maybe giving Khan his a redemptive moment when he realizes that he can't beat Cortez and that his city is at risk. He's the one who closes the gateway.
Wait a minute. Nothing attacks them going in. What if the mythical city has a curse on it? You cannot remove the gold from El Dorado.
Oh,
it
like
has
the,
to stay
the,
within the city.
Like the Last Crusade. The
Very similar. So once they step through the threshold of the city, then these guardians come to reclaim the gold.
Like a Pirates of the Caribbean, one single coin leaves.
Yeah.
Stuff goes bad.
Stuff goes to shit.
There's that, yeah.
Then you can have a nice big battle, and that's when all these stone sentinels come along.
Oh, we have Tulia and Miguel figure that out. And so, like, they just start, they throw one coin, like, they're like, just throw it that way. Those guys catch it.
Yeah, that could work.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where Chell plays, because she's
being chased by something.
Yeah, because she's taking gold out.
Yeah, not the men, but something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they manage, like, they kind of grab her and they get her back to the threshold. How would you run that? They have to get her back to the threshold before they figure out what's going on.
Well, Tetzel Khan is the one who greets Tulio and Miguel.
Yeah.
So,
because they look like the iconography of their god, right?
Oh, well, in fact, he can turn up as they're finding Chell. So as something's attacking the three of them, mainly going after her, she's just trying to hide behind them.
Yeah.
And causing all sorts of havoc as they're running through the forest and whatnot. And then they run into Tetzel Khan.
Yeah, and maybe they're
searching for her.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking for what's left of her so they can reclaim the gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But somehow she's survived because she's run into these two.
Yeah, which just angers him even more.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Just have to figure out how they would
I'm just trying to figure out how it would do it without like them figuring out that this is like a magical thing that's happening. Like, do they need to know that? Like, I don't think they should see the sentinels before kind of the final bit.
I'd say these are smaller versions. Like, you want to build up to something bigger and more threatening.
Well, you know, it could just be like noise and glowing eyes in the underbrush kind of thing, right? Where you can see that there's something there, but you don't know really what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Until you reveal it a little lot later on.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. And okay, there we go. And
it's
then
a
it's
a nice setup.
Yeah.
It's something before and you're like, ooh, what was that? And then it'll be a callback later. Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah, I like that. Build suspense.
Yeah.
Do the things that they don't always do well in horror movies.
Yeah. And I mean, you could have them at one point walking in circles and maybe like, did we pass that statue before? Except
it's moving.
They haven't because the statue has been moving, not them.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. That's also a good point for comedy.
Yes.
Be a big break.
Yeah.
Yeah. or how many of these things are there?
Yeah. Just one.
I actually kind of like that better.
It should be, be 5 or 6, but yeah.
Oh, you can have them arguing. They're like going, it's the, like one of the, Miguel's like, it's the same one. And Tulio's, no, it's not the same one. See, like that one like had two armbands. It's a different one. But there, he's misremembering it.
Yeah. Or he's just lying to himself because he doesn't want to believe.
Because, well, one of, and that plays perfectly because one's an optimist and one is a pessimist.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, that could work really well. Yeah.
There we go. Like that.
And that would explain why they don't get out with any gold, too.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. There we go. Okay. That ties up that one.
Yeah. Except
that loose
for
end has
Altivo's
been
horseshoes.
Oh.
Right. He still gets out with those because.
No human can leave with gold.
Exactly. Yes. It goes back to the animals tricking the sentinels because I like the idea because animals would be ignored by the sentinels.
Yeah.
Right. Because they're not sentient.
Ooh, and Bebo can go out with his little gold flake, little gold armadillo.
Yeah. Totally like it.
Cool.
Nice.
Cool. So how about some casting here?
I guess we're already there, aren't we?
Yeah.
Why don't we let Trish go first today? Because she's dropped her pad and
I dropped my notepad. I am messed. Okay, you've been having trouble with the cops. I've just been having trouble in general.
She dropped her notepad, hit her head on the mic. It was great.
I know. What else can happen on the road to El Dorado?
bad things as we have recreated here.
Exactly. Yes.
And I have to look up one of my
Unless
actors.
You're with Chell, then you might get a hand job.
I don't think it was her.
I suspect
it wasn't her hand. As I said, her mouth was nowhere near his mouth.
I'm glad there was no drips. Or anything. Like, what kind of movie is this?
I don't think they were done.
I don't think they were
they
done.
They got interrupted.
They did get interrupted, yes. Poor Tulio.
Yep. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when an evil priest comes by? You can die or you can finish. Your choice.
Hold on.
Okay, so we know where Jay is. firmly on the die side, Sam.
Yeah.
Okay, both dead. Well,
it's
nice.
It's Tetzel God. You're his god. Yeah. So it's like, let God finish. Let God finish. Yes. Yeah. I thought that's why you left her here.
Yeah. No, I still like the idea of Tetzel Khan being the one who closes the door to El Dorado, or the gates to El Dorado. I think that in his last act of defiance against Cortez, not because he's a good guy, but because he doesn't want Cortez to get it.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah.
No, I like that idea. Yeah, like, it's spiteful.
He's still protective of his city.
Yeah. Exactly. And he hates
should
Cortez.
Be, yeah. He right? should be at odds with Cortez.
Yeah. And I mean, he sacrifices himself to do it.
Yeah.
Right. So rather than becoming a slave, I think his becoming a slave is not a good thing.
Yeah. Because then the fine point to the last bad guy actually is.
Or you have this whole thing like where Tetzel Khan is like, you came to conquer me? No, bitch, I conquer you. Because he wants to conquer other people. So you got two people who just want to conquer everybody.
Yeah. Oh, I had a couple Easter eggs in there that I wanted to mention before we go too far.
Sure.
Yeah. So there's this scene where they're on the rowboat where the shark comes up and eats the albatross. You see it right away, but if just in case you didn't see it, that's a tribute to Jaws because DreamWorks could steal Spielberg, blah, 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 right?
Exactly.
Tribute to one of his movies. Yeah. And then the DreamWorks logo appears twice in the movie, kind of. There's the scene, there's the montage as they're traveling. They show the moon without the fisherman on it at one point. And then in Tetzel Khan's book, the moon with the fisherman on it is actually in the book. So they have a few little subtle nods there. I think that was the only one Yeah, those are the two that I found.
Yeah, those are the two that stand out the most.
That's the only. Yeah, those are the only ones I saw. I didn't look for the Easter eggs online. I was looking at stuff about El Dorado.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's that too, right?
It's kind of a fascinating, weird story. Like people are just convinced that it's in this place and it was just like showered with gold, which is sort of, I kept thinking at some point, I want El Dorado to have a lot of gold. But I want it to be like it's not what everybody thinks it is. It's just sort of an idyllic place. And like a lot of the gold is actually like plant life that's really beautiful. It's just a beautiful place.
Well, those cultures, gold wasn't – it was a base metal for them.
Yeah.
Right? It was shiny and they used it for decoration, but it was not – didn't have like value like it did in Europe.
You didn't use it to buy stuff.
No, it was made into jewelry so you could adorn yourself. And I'd like to see more of that where like – and it's inlaid into buildings and stuff. It wasn't used as a currency.
Yeah, it's just decorative.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I've communicated kind of what I meant. It's like, I just don't want it to like be like this gleaming city of gold, like just completely of gold, like what people imagine it to be.
No, it's...
You know, it's a different idea.
Yeah, I like the idea of there being real gold there, but it's not literally a city of gold. I agree.
It's not this unlimited riches they thought they were going to come upon. It's just gold. They just have gold.
And there's plenty of it.
So. There's plenty of it, but it's not what they thought it would be, where it's just treasure.
Yeah, with buildings made of gold and stuff. And
yeah, there's just like piles of rocks that happen to have gold in them, like somewhere. It's like, well, that's not what I expected.
Yeah.
Well, no, I like that it's decorative. Like, they just don't have value in it. I mean, the buildings aren't, their foundations aren't made with gold per se, but it's still
inlaid into things,
or still used quite a bit.
Or part of it, like, it is. It's used quite a bit. It's not the overwhelming amount, but like part of what makes it the city of gold is when the sun shines on El Dorado, it looks like it's
made of gold. Yeah. Well, that's just it. It picks up what the gold in the city to make it illuminate in such a way. And it should be part gold and part metaphor.
Yes.
You know,
that's what I was getting at. Yeah. I think, it should be part metaphor.
Yes. And I totally agree. Yeah. That it should be at least in part metaphor.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, paradise of sorts.
Yeah. And it could be because of where it is in that
beautiful
bowl of that. Cause I think it's like the bowl of an old volcano. Which would be really cool.
Well, yes, because the volcano rumbles and then they go,
stop it.
Their timing is great. Stop it. And then the volcano goes poof.
Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome.
It was funny. It was odd. I'm like, going, what happened with that volcano?
Yeah. So I like the idea of it being more metaphorical than literal. But there's still gold present, but it's not in the.
It's not what they imagined it to be.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know what? Maybe even Miguel and Sue don't even really know what they're getting into. They just know that El Dorado is a mythical place that where they could get untold riches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they have all these people go on treasure hunts all the time. There's just treasure. And that's just the word, treasure.
Yeah.
You don't know what it is.
Right. And maybe
what treasure is. Yeah,
and maybe their untold riches is the enlightenment they get while they're there. Right. So it becomes very metaphorical then, too. Right. It's not, they're not rich in wealth. They are rich in spirit now because of the time they spent there.
Yeah, like, I mean, did you ever bury treasure as a kid?
Oh, for sure.
And it was like a toy?
Yeah.
Because to you, it was treasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some sandbox with a G.I. Joe in it.
Somewhere, yeah.
We lost Han Solo for a very long time, and we eventually found him, but it took a while.
I'm sure he was in great condition. I'm sure he was. Well, how about you go ahead with your casting now that we're all set up I've interrupted everything.
Okay. So for my cast, I went full Spanish because I'm like, what's going to happen?
I suspect we all did. Yeah. We might even have some crossover casting.
Yeah, probably.
For Tulio, I have Javier Bardem.
Okay.
For Miguel, I have Antonio Banderas. For Shell, I have Sofia Vergara because she's actually Colombian. I have, for the Chief, I have Danny Trejo because I love it when he plays a lovable figure. It makes me happy. Sekel Khan, Jordi Mola, who's been, I'm trying to remember what else he's been in. You know him to see him. And then all I did was, like, for Altivo, I thought Alipizaner would be a good horse to use for that.
Oh, cast the horse.
Yeah.
I didn't research horses.
Yeah, no, I didn't do the horse either. Because I wasn't even sure if I was going to use the horse. It wasn't until we started talking about it that we found a way to make him work in.
Yeah.
I'll go next and let Jay finish up, I guess. That work for you, Jay?
Of course it does.
Okay. You always like to be the cap on the hat there. So I went a little bit younger. I went sort of mid or late 20s to early 30s for my Tulio Miguel. So my Tulio is Diego Luna because he kind of looks like Tulio.
He really does.
Yeah. And I also wanted the very European looking Spanish actors for our leads. And then I went with more of the Mayan influenced, like the Indio influenced actors for just to break it up a little bit because the Mayans and the Spanish are different.
Yeah.
Right, so I tried to capture that difference physically. So for Miguel, I went with Kevin Alejandro, who has been in a lot of stuff. Very Caucasian-looking, but still has that Spanish feel to him as well. He was in True Blood. He's been in Arrow. He's in Lucifer. He plays the lead cop's ex-husband.
Oh, yes. Okay. Right, okay, now I know what you're
talking about. Yeah, really good-looking, charming-looking guy. So
yeah.
For my Chell, I went with Selena Gomez. She's actually quite a competent actress, and she has that kind of round Mayan face. I could see her kind of, she's just a little bit younger. I figured she'd work really well in that role. For my Tesla Khan, I went Jay Hernandez.
Nice.
Yeah, because I think he'd be really good. And again, he's kind of got that rounder Mayan style Indio face.
Okay.
I think he can do a villain really good.
We know he can do villains really well. For my Chief Tanabok, I went with George Garcia. Sorry, I was gonna do George Lopez, and then I remembered George Garcia from Dexter. He plays the Latin cop there.
Yeah.
Right. I think he'd make a great Chief Tanabok.
Sure.
He's really good.
And then for my Cortez, I went with Javier Bardem.
Oh, okay, there we go. There's our crossover.
So did I.
Yeah. And then for my director, because he did it so well on The Rundown, I went with Peter Berg.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. I think that he does that sort of that chase through the jungle kind of thing really, really well with just enough humor to make it fun.
Right.
Nice. Like it.
Well, since this movie was already written by guys who did Pirates, I figured let's bring in the director of Pirates because he knows how to do this kind of movie. So Gore Verbinski is my director.
Sweet.
For my Tulio, I wanted Oscar Isaac.
He was also on my list, but I've used him so many times, I just couldn't do it this time.
I have it.
Yes.
Which is great. Yeah. For Miguel, I went with Freddy Rodriguez.
Also on my list, because I love Freddy.
He is fun.
For Chell, I still wanted that sexiness, as well as somebody capable actor and who had that exotic look. Vanessa Hudgens.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And who is Spanish, so.
Mm-hmm.
For my Tetzel Khan, I went with Benicio del Toro.
I thought about him.
I thought about him too, but because he's a younger, more fit actor, I was thinking Benicio. And I use him a lot, so I decided not to.
Yeah, he's a bit older now, but I'm like, yeah, he could do it.
Oh, he does bad so well.
I just thought, I'm like, oh, he had the bug eyes. And I'm like, that's Benicio.
Yeah. Well, it kind of depends on, like, you can go your priest where he's, like, really old and fanatical, but, like, young and fanatical. Mm-hmm. They're two different dynamics. But
well, he's going to have a whole cult to do his bidding, so he doesn't have to get too physical.
Yeah.
For my Cortez, I also agreed with Sam. I went with Javier Bardem.
Nice.
I think he's got that stockier build and had that kind of presence to him when I think back to Old Country for Old Men. So,
well, he does, because Cortez is not evil.
No.
He is just motivated.
Yeah.
He's ambitious.
And it can be confused for evil. But
yes.
Yeah. And for my chief, I stuck with the original chief, Edward James Olmos. He's older and he's roly-poly now.
I considered that because we always do that callback.
So I'm like, yeah, if there's anybody you're going to bring back, that'd be the guy because he was probably the only Spanish dude in the cast along with Rosie Perez.
Yes.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I know. That was very noted. I was like, really?
Yeah. But yeah, the whole time I was doing casting, I'm like, well, the Eldorans are not Spanish. Right. So how do you make how do you sort of differentiate them so they don't look too Spanish? You have that India look. So that was the challenge. I think as well as I can with recognizable actors. I mean, you could go to some lesser known actors from South America who have a lot of the Indio blood. But
sure.
And if I were really casting it, that's probably the way I would go.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Right, so there's a real differentiation. You get the really European-looking Spanish versus the really Indio-looking continental.
Yeah, I would like that division as well, like the standard, like, whiter Spanish. And then, the Indio one.
Yeah, I mean, technically, what should happen when they meet is they should not be able to communicate.
And you know what? That too. And I think that would be a very interesting dynamic, is that could be part of the whole El Dorado experience, is they... Tulio and Miguel are smart, and maybe they are already multilingual, so they pick up the language fairly quickly.
Yeah,
and I mean, maybe you do what Gibson did in the that Runner movie. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head now, but where there's no English spoken, it's all subtitles. I say he did it with Last Temptation of Christ as well, but you have subtitle when they are talking in their native language.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it would be a lot more challenging to watch, sure, but I think it would be a lot more interesting too.
Yeah, you can have, and the whole thing is like you kind of explain away why they speak a different language with the people.
I have an idea.
Oh, I have one, but
go ahead, finish your thought.
Is the reason they speak a different? If they're speaking the language of the gods, is what they tell them, but they just don't. They're just learning the language.
What if part of the mysticism of El Dorado is they can understand each other?
Ooh.
Only in the city of El Dorado.
Okay,
That could be really interesting, actually.
Yeah.
If we're going magic, let's go magic.
Let's go magic.
Yeah. Yeah, and that could be a lot of fun in the lead up scene as they before they pass through the gate. Yeah. Is there?
They feel very threatened at that point.
And Chell's nattering at them in her own language, mm-hmm. and they're talking to her in Spanish or English mm-hmm. as the case may be, and they can't understand each other. So she's really speaking something that they can't understand. But as they mm-hmm. as they flee, they realize they're starting to catch understand things that she's saying. They're going, she's saying, "Don't go this way, don't go this way," and stuff like that. Right? Yeah. This is the wrong way. This is the wrong way. Right? And they're starting to catch mm-hmm. it, and it's too late.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen that in movies too, where, like, say, Germans are—they're supposed to be talking German, but where they're speaking English.
Yeah. And you know,
I mean, you get that those few lines. I think they did in Hunt for Red October, where they're speaking Russian to each other, and then there's just that merge into English.
That's a really good example of where it worked well.
Yeah, and this is an actual plot point, so we can actually work into the film where it actually works.
And also in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, when he puts the
Babel fish in his ear. Yeah. So yeah, I really think that device could work really well because we could add that another element of comedy in there. It actually feels like the scene from Peter Berg, from the rundown with Peter Berg, where he's climbing under the thing to get the golden idol. Mm-hmm. You kind of have that moment there almost where it's almost anticlimactic mm-hmm. when they finally get to where they're going. Right? And that goes back to Trish's thing about the City of Gold not being real gold, but golden in presence, metaphorically gold, as we said.
Right.
But I, all in all, I think that we could come up with a really great live action remake of this and probably do better than the original did.
Probably. It probably cost more than it too. But
oh, for
it'll
sure.
cost a lot. Let's not lie here.
Yeah, $95 million. Yeah, that's a pretty low budget film nowadays.
These days, I'm figuring we just bumped it up to at least 150.
At least. Yeah. Oh well, fortunately, like most of our casts are not high paid actors. Right, mm-hmm.
And that's I think too because mm-hmm. $95 million for why they went with such a big star-studded cast on this.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Is they thought big names is what you needed for an animated film, and you do not.
No,
you really do not. Not for animated films.
No, you just need talent, and I mean, you could have shaved off so much money off of that budget, and this movie would have made money.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they probably could have
made a lot.
Yeah, they probably would have maybe broken even.
Yeah,
right? They could have shaved a good $20 million off their budget for sure.
Yeah.
They would have. Yeah, would have. They would have made the budget back. Any marketing, no, but they would have made their budget back.
Oh, yeah. And if they shaved out Elton John, then they would have made money for sure.
Oh yeah.
And maybe that was just the failing of DreamWorks. They were spending so much money at the front end of it,
They were too ambitious for their first film.
Way too ambitious.
They were relying.
You could say that about a lot of their films, but early on,
mm-hmm.
they were relying on Spielberg's reputation to really sort of build the business instead of doing it based on the merit of the product.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But on that note, I'm going to turn it over to Jay for some stuff that I can never remember how to do. Even though I type it on Twitter every fucking day.
Like, and you've heard me say it.
I don't listen to you. I never listen to you.
It's very clear.
It should be. I'm honest about it. I don't listen to you.
Yeah,
I think Miguel and Tulio is you two.
sometimes.
Yeah, how are those tickets?
I'm Chell.
Oh, yeah. Well, wait a minute. I didn't get any. I just get stopped a lot.
They weren't giving you tickets?
No, they just stopped me and yelled at me a little bit.
They're supposed to give you tickets. I mean, hey, if there are other animated films you would like us to turn into live action or vice versa.
Oh, absolutely.
That would be cool, too. Let us know. You can let us know at all our social media places because we got lots of them now. Invasion of the Remake on Instagram and Facebook. Invasion of the Remake on Twitter. We are at Invasion Remake there. Mm-hmm. And invasionoftheremake@gmail.com. And, of course, you can leave challenges and questions and comments and all sorts of things there as well. Yeah, shoot us your ideas and we'll think about it.
We usually, at the very least, think about it.
Yeah, we'll think about it. Maybe.
Sometimes we even argue about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're really lucky, we'll argue and think about it on the air.
There we go. Well, isn't that kind of the point? They're successful. We've done it when we argue about it on the air.
Exactly. So congratulations, you win.
Yeah.
A great big prize of nothing.
Nothing.
Which is actually maybe better than the prize I won because... this has been tough. My respect for Jay is definitely higher, having stepped into his role as best as I am capable. I mean, Jay's been a little reluctant to hand over the reins, though. He keeps stepping on me, but I understand.
Well, you're only doing half the job because I have to pick up the piece at the end.
That's right.
You
yeah.
do.
So,
speaking of which, where can we be heard?
I don't know.
Libsyn, Spreaker, Blueberry.
Yeah, well, you can tell all your friends where to find us. Yeah, we are on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Radio Player FM, Audio Boom, Spreaker, and hey, guess what? We are now on iHeartRadio officially. I've been teasing it for a couple of weeks, but we are officially now on iHeartRadio and even
freaking YouTube.
Goddamn right. Now, we are dropping the YouTubes a couple days later than all the other places, so if you want to hear us early, subscribe to us on all those podcast apps you just heard about. And if you're okay with Thursday, that's fine too. Hit us up on YouTube and make sure you subscribe there and ding that bell to get the notifications.
And so you want to get to the episodes really quick on YouTube because they might come down really fast afterwards too.
Yeah.
There are some times where those trailers with the music get me in trouble, and sometimes people are just claiming things that they don't claim, so those ones they usually win when I contest all that, but sometimes you can't because it's like, oh, all right. So if it's too much of a pain and they're starting to block it, then I'm just gonna yank it.
Yeah.
So the entire library is not on YouTube. Most of it is, though. Well, guarantee that the episode will be there for at least a couple of weeks before I deal with any issues that it might have,
but get to it quick. That's all I'm saying.
That's right. That's right.
If that's your,
we're going to keep as many there as we can, but some will disappear.
Yeah, inevitably.
Yeah.
If the numbers are different, there seems to be one missing. Now you know why.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and YouTube's not the most intuitive method of finding us because the episodes are listed out of order.
The Libsyn's ability to push it to YouTube came much later in the life of our podcast, so it all got pushed in later.
And we're basically audio. If you want to watch videos of cats, you can go to YouTube.
That's right. If you want to hear audio of cats, I'm like, meow, 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 meow. We could do that too, but I'm not doing that for an hour and a half. So.
No. Well, anyhow, I am always Sam.
I continue to be Trish.
And I'm Jason, and we are out of here to find the road to El Dorado.
Woohoo!
Wait!